Unplugging America's health insurance markets, President Trump gives a shove to an already weak part of the Affordable Care Act. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The White House said last night that the administration will, as of now, stop paying federal money to health insurers under the Affordable Care Act. President Trump's action could rapidly upset the Obamacare insurance market, specifically the individual market where insurers count on the subsidies to offer policies to people of low and middle income. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is following some of the practical details of this. First, Mitchell, the money is being cut off for what?
Well, these are cost-sharing reduction subsidies. It's about $7 billion a year. They've been paid to insurers under the administration's authorization, first by Obama and since the inauguration by Trump. Basically, they provide enough extra cash to insurers so that they can offer plans under the ACA to people up to about 250% of the poverty level. Now, these subsidies lower those people's out-of-pocket copays and deductibles.
What happens now, though?
Well, it's not entirely clear yet, but Trump's health officials said that the payments are improper and will end immediately. The next monthly payment was expected October 21st. Now, keep in mind, people start signing up for ACA insurance in a few weeks. They may be looking at listed premiums and copays for 2018 that assume that those cost-sharing payments keep flowing to insurers. But, of course, the insurers might not be getting paid anymore. If they aren't, they could face big losses, though some have been raising premiums already to sort of hedge their bets. And in 2018, insurers could jack premiums sky high or withdraw from the exchanges altogether because of this.
This decision must affect millions.
Well, yes, according to Consumer Reports, about 6 million Americans, and that's more than half of those who buy their health insurance through the Obamacare exchanges, have been benefiting from these subsidies up until now, and that is through significantly lower copays and deductibles.
Mitchell, thank you. The president is also moving this week to deregulate the health insurance market so that more bare-bones health coverage might be available for people who don't think they'll get very sick. Now, who's going to run Apple's greatest rival, Samsung of South Korea? The electronics giant, which makes smartphones, TVs, and a lot more, has announced that the person many thought would lead the company into the future is stepping down. The BBC's Danny Savage filed this for us from Seoul.
Samsung is the biggest name in business here in South Korea. It's had problems in recent months with one of its leaders jailed for bribery and another resigned. Now the man known as Mr. Chip has gone too, and it's come as a big surprise. Kwon Oh-hyun is currently vice chairman at the company. He's 64 years old and says it's time to let a younger crowd take charge. He's chief of the memory chip part of the business, which has driven profits to record levels, and the forecast for future performance is good too. Analysts thought Kwon, who leaves next March, was going to take on a bigger role and are now raising concerns about just who is going to be at the top of Samsung.
As you heard, one of the top personal finance stories of the year so far is the president's move last night to unplug the Obamacare subsidies and allow people to buy stripped-down yet cheaper coverage. A second big personal finance story these days is the decision to bring the payday loan industry under federal oversight of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has more on this industry at a crossroads. Morning, Chris.
Morning, David.
So the industry fought these rules, fought them hard. They brought in consumers who say they can't do without this kind of short-term but expensive borrowing. What stands out for you about what the federal regulators have come up with here?
First thing is payday lenders in many cases must now determine, can borrowers repay these loans? But more importantly, what the new rules try to do is limit rollovers. So that's the practice where customer takes out a payday loan, can't repay it. They take out another payday loan to repay their previous payday loan. And this is a classic way to fall into a debt trap.
I tell you, Chris, we should be clear. How do these fast cash loans work?
A payday loan typically lasts for 2 weeks, comes with a flat fee. So for every $100 you borrow, it's about $15 fee. And to give you an idea about how expensive these loans are, David, if you annualize, that fee is almost 400%.
Yeah, and if you can't pay back on time?
Well, this is where you fall into this debt trap. So you borrow, again, another $100 plus your $15 fee. And then what happens is the fee eventually, if you keep doing this, you know, the fee's just going to add up. Comedian Sarah Silverman, she was in a skit. And here's what she said about the payday loan. If you're considering taking out a payday loan, I'd like to tell you about a great alternative. Anything else?
Yes, but Sarah, sometimes people don't have other options. That's why this type of fast cash lending is out there.
Right. So there's – look at this as a two-prong. You have the new rules that are trying to limit some of the abuses, and they're really trying to get away – get people away from falling into this debt trap. Now, the other part – and this is widely known. We need to get Congress working a lot more on ways to encourage the mainstream banking industry to reach out for low-income folk. Because no matter what the public relations department says, they want middle-class, upper-income customers. So these rules are only one step toward trying to get rid of abuses in the low-income market for people who need to borrow some money.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And Kobe Steel of Tokyo. First, they said they faked quality data about copper and aluminum. By midweek, it was iron powder. Now it's steel. And it also emerged today that the company supplied possibly substandard metal not just to cars, planes, and trains, but also nuclear power plants. Stock in Kobe Steel is down 38% this week. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.